began so long ago with a band of Queen's Park men.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Spiders Talk podcast. It's David Blair, Enzo Tamanini and Callum Stewart back again this week, a little bit later than usual. We do apologise for that, but we're gathered together on Valentine's Day to talk about a weekend that we absolutely love. There we go. That's my pun to open up the episode there.
I was wondering where that was going.
Nice, easy one there. Nice and simple. But yeah, what a weekend we've got to talk about. And we're going into the beginning of the week. We have, of course, Queen's Park winning 3-0 against Dunfermline in the Championship, which is a massive win just for not only the players and everything there, but, of course, looking at the league table, which we'll get into very shortly. There are wins galore all around the club. You've got the women's team, the B team, and even the supporters team managed to get a win as well. We'll cover all of those before we look ahead to what is going to be a pretty interesting matchup. Unbelievably, given where we've came from this season, two of the informed teams in the league, Greenock Morton making the short trip from their end of the Clyde to the city centre and to the in Mount Florida and Hampden. First things first, Calvin Enzo, as I say, on the back of a very excellent weekend or excellent few days for Queen's Park, how are you doing?
Excellent, excellent, very good. I mean, I've been choking for a while to have a game of football that felt somewhat comfortable. Now, it definitely wasn't that in the first half, but it managed to follow the trend of all of Callum Davidson's games so far by our second half performances being much improved and eventually ending up with a nice 3-0 win. And it was a really, really good second half to watch, and it was some really, really good football. Excellent goals. We've seen some fantastic debuts and guys coming into the spotlight a wee bit that maybe haven't had it before. So loads to be positive about.
Yeah, I pretty much the same. I'm doing really well. I think it just goes to show you what a difference having a winning team can make, because I've just been in a good mood since Saturday. And I was in a good mood all of last week as well after we beat Inverness. So I'd really like if that was something that we could get used to again, because I know that we did in the first half of last season. And it's a good feeling. I think the team, to me anyway, and I'm sure a lot of people listening will agree, really does feel as though we've turned a bit of a corner. Doesn't mean I'm taking anything for granted. I would still bite your hand off for eighth. But, you know, we are quite clearly going in the right direction, and it's quite exciting.
Yeah, it definitely is. Let's get straight into, as I say, that 3-0 win up at Dunfermline. A very interesting game, certainly from my perspective. Obviously, you guys were there. I wasn't able to attend, but what I did do was Dunfermline do an audio stream, so you can't find a video stream anywhere at all, unfortunately, even by nefarious means. But they did do an audio stream. It was only £3, so I thought, I tell you what, I'll pay for it. I know it'll be Dunfermline commentators, you know, it'll be biased towards the home team. You know, you expect that kind of thing, but I thought I would give it a listen, and I managed to do that while I was going about my business on Saturday. Having then spoke to you guys throughout the game, maybe not so much in the first half, but certainly in the second half, it seems like that the guys that I was listening to were watching a completely different game, because they were talking about how they were unlucky to be, they actually thought they were unlucky not to be ahead at half time, and then in the second half, certainly just before Dom Thomas's second goal, or the second goal of the game from Dom Thomas, went in, they were sort of bemoaning the fact that they probably should still be in this game. They were unlucky to be behind. From that point, they did turn out to be utterly miserable at the performance and the result, which was at that point a delight to hear. But I'd say I want to get your guys' thoughts, obviously, on the game, having been there, watching it. Tell us what you thought. I mean, well, first of all, with the starting lineup, there were a couple of changes there. Obviously, there were some bodies moving about as well. But you had Sean Welsh coming back in after his suspension, missing out, playing his former team Inverness. And we had a first start for Joshua Scott at left wing back, I believe it was, wasn't it? So I want to actually start with Joshua Scott, because you guys gave him a bit of a glowing report card on the back of that performance. So for a first start, Callum, you first. What did you make of that first start?
Yeah, fantastic. It was a really, really good debut from him. He was... obviously, we've had Bruce playing in that position up until now, but I thought that Scott looked older in general. I know he is older, but like physically, he was a lot more powerful going forward. Quite aggressive, which I'm a fan of personally. I've seen that a few times throughout the game. Thought his passing was really good. He was really direct. honestly, I don't really think I could ask for much more from him. Because I think when we signed him initially, I think it was a wee bit out of left field because we kind of thought, okay, we've got Bruce in that position. Obviously, you've got Robson, who I guess in principle could play there. Maybe this feels a bit overkill, but I can totally see why they've signed him, because he did look really, really good. And if I'm honest, I would be extremely surprised to see him out of the squad next week.
I was keen to see Scott start against Dunfermline, having seen him come off the bench up in Inverness the week before, because he came on and offered us a bit of aggression that we've probably lacked a bit down that side between the guys that have been filling in that role. And obviously those guys have different elements to the game that maybe Scott doesn't, but I think, given that we still have, I know that we've shored it up a little bit with some guys who have played at this level a fair bit, but you know, we still have a relatively young team. We still have a lot of guys that are in and around this level for the first time. And given his age and lack of experience, you would not have guessed that he was one of them. He really loves getting stuck in, and I'm looking forward to seeing what else he can contribute down that left hand side, because I think honestly, in the span of a game and maybe a third, he's probably secured his starting position for the coming weeks anyway, assuming things don't go dramatically wrong from here on out. And as you say, Callum, given that all the excitement around the Danny Wilson signing, to get that one out of nowhere on the same evening, I don't think any of us had particularly high expectations, but he's proven me wrong anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And see, even if you just look at the setup of the defence now, I just think it's already starting to look a lot more assured. I mean, obviously you can see that reflected in the last few games. We're no longer conceding an absolute barrel load of goals every game. But just seeing some of the sort of nuances, like Bannon just seems to have stepped up like multiple levels in terms of his confidence and his ability on the ball, pushing it out from defence. And I think it's just because they've got that bit of cover now, because obviously, you've had Bannon there. You've had Jack Thompson, who is obviously, we rave about him every week and no different on Saturday. He was absolutely fantastic. But the two of them are such good ball players. And the thing that I think has changed is we've got Tizard now, who seems to be sitting almost as like a sweeper, kind of. He's just sitting back whilst the other two are bombing forward. He's not doing any of that stuff that he was getting asked to do before. And it's such a massive improvement in his performances as a result of it, because I think he's now performing a role which he's much more comfortable for, because he does have like physical attributes. He is pretty quick, but I think he struggled with the style of football that Veldman was trying to implement, unfortunately. Whereas in this one, it just feels like they've set him up a wee bit more to say, right, you sit back, you cover for Bannon or Thompson when they push up. And then just essentially make those simple passes out wide to the more ball-playing players, which is, I just think it worked much better.
And I totally agree with that. And I think one of the big differences for Tizard is that I think he probably was overthinking a lot of things before, and I don't know if that's just because of what had been put in his head by the previous leadership. And that was resulting in him making mistakes in it, because he was getting, I think he was possibly overly keen to do things that he didn't necessarily have to do. And now that he's back to basics, we are seeing the player that I think we all hoped we would see when he signed as well. And the thing is, this defence has, that's now two clean sheets away from home in a row. We've still not actually seen Danny Wilson yet. He's supposed to be the one that's going to come in and tidy everything up at the back. So, you know, it should still be getting better yet. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, on Tizard, it is great to hear that he's obviously performing a lot better. I think he definitely was a victim of Veldman ball, wasn't he? And being asked perhaps to do something, yeah, maybe he wasn't overly comfortable with, or maybe doesn't quite have that skill set. There's absolutely nothing wrong with being a centre-back that doesn't want to be running past defenders or running past opposition strikers and you know, doing all all the other nonsense that came with all that. There's something to be had for a defender that can just tackle, give the ball to the next guy there and do his job nice and easy. And if Will Tizzle's fitting into that role, then that's great for him. And, well, it's clearly working for us, as you say, Andrew. It's two clean sheets in a row in the league, which I don't even recall looking back to see when that last was, because it feels like it was an absolute eternity ago. But it's great to see that we've managed to do that with him in the squad as well. And, of course, with, well, Bannon, Jack Thompson, who got himself a place in the SWPL Team of the Week this week based on his performance. You know, the back three clearly doing their job and then some on the day. In terms of going forward, as I say, the first half, you guys did have some complaints about what we were doing. And, well, Callum, I'll throw you right in it, because, of course, it was just shortly after halftime. It was the two that you were becrying in the first half. It was McKinstry linking up with Jack Turner to get on the score sheet and open the scoring for Queen's Park. What do you think, like, obviously you can tell us what happened in the first half, what was going wrong, but what do you think changed in the second half, but what do you think Callum Davidson did to make it go so right?
So, I'm still sort of, jury's out for me on McKinstry so far. He had a fantastic contribution, obviously. You'll have seen the highlights now, David. They had a fantastic contribution. His cross was fantastic.
Yeah.
And he still has, you can still see he has a lot of really, really good attributes. The team in the first half in general was a bit stodgy. There wasn't much going on. I think you referenced the audio commentary that you were listening to, David. The chances that they had in that game were essentially about four or five long throws that were lumped on top of Ferry that maybe caused a couple of scrambles, but there wasn't really any actual football coming from Dunfermline. And similarly from ourselves, there was a lot of huffing and puffing. I think maybe trying too hard almost, I think a wee bit perhaps from players like Dom Thomas in the first half. But I'm still not convinced by Turner and the sort of centre of midfield, if I'm honest. We've seen such a massive difference when he gets up the park, obviously the goal, fantastic. And whether that's, I think Davidson referenced it in the interview after the game, he was basically telling the guys to attack a bit more and get a bit further forward. And if that applied to Turner, then obviously it paid dividends. But I do think the two of them did struggle. I mean, they were pretty much substituted after the goal, straight away. No, not straight away, actually. Sorry, it was a couple of minutes after the goal. The two of them were substituted. So I think Davidson was clearly still looking for a change as well. But I don't want to diminish the effort that they put in for the goal, because it was a really, really nicely worked goal. And similar with these sort of games when you're a wee bit more in control and the other team's perhaps sitting back, once you get that first goal, it does open up the match. But I still think Turner is better in that position that he was playing under Veldman, where it was floating around the sort of front three rather than the central midfield. And for McKinstry, I think you can clearly see that he's got natural ability and lots of stuff on the ball. I think there's just, it's probably still a match fitness thing or match awareness, I'm not sure. I still think there's a wee bit to go for him. And after watching the impact that Mackenzie Carse had when he came on in the 73rd minute, I think he will be pushed by him, because I don't know about you, Enzo, but the 15 minutes of absolute riot that Carse brought on in terms of his running, his effort, ability on the ball, sort of complemented with a lovely goal in the end, he looked great.
Yeah, and see the way he took that goal, by the way, the calmness with which he approached the net and tucked that away. You'd be delighted if your best forwards were able to do that, your best strikers, guys who you expect to be contributing 10, 15 goals a season, because it looked like somebody who'd been there and done it. And I totally agree with you. I thought he just looked really, really dangerous when he came on. And I think Davidson definitely has a decision to make based on how he did look. And I think, do you know what? See, just going back even to like the first half and the way things ultimately went, I feel as though a big part of it was that, see, in the past, I think we'd have maybe got frustrated with the way that first half went. But ultimately, as you say, Dunfermline didn't really do all that much. And I know that their fans were saying that it was technically an improvement on the week before that. I'm actually feel a bit sorry for them if that was considered an improvement, because I can't imagine how horrific they'd been against Morton. I realised they lost 5-0. I saw some of the goals, but you know, that still wasn't by any stretch of the imagination good, and they've got a lot of work to do if that's them looking slightly improved. And I think we just felt as though it was always. I think we just knew that we were the better team. We were still looking more dangerous. We had more of the ball. We were getting into better areas, and we were creating more. The one or two shots that they had were pretty powder puff straight at Ferry, or just absolutely terrible. And I think honestly, it was just the mental aspect of, we are going to score, and when it comes, this game's going to open. And I feel as though the team at half-time knew that they were going to come out and win that game. And I just think that's part of the whole, the shift in mindset that this team has had since Davidson came in. They clearly believe in themselves so much more. And that is half the battle, because we saw it, you know, look at the points that we chucked away from, positions that we should never have been chucking points away from under Veldman. If you've got a manager that can come in and make you believe that you can win games of football, it makes such a big difference. I think you're right about Turner, but the thing is, his goal contribution at this stage, I didn't expect him. You know, earlier on in the season, we saw him playing, we thought this guy looks a player. Did not expect him to be chipping in with so many goals. He's been a massive signing for us.
That's Turner and Dom Thomas now in the top 10 scorers in the league. Yeah, they've both got six. Peyton obviously still leading the way with 11. So that's what you need, though. That's what you need. And even I was just having a quick skim through the matches that Davidson's been in charge of so far. And out of our 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 goals, 6 of them have been in the second half. So okay. I'd much rather be having that trend, to be fair, than doing all right for the first 10 minutes of the game like it was before and then totally capitulating.
Totally agree with you, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, definitely. You said changing, like a sort of changing mentality into it, sort of through the team. There was obviously the comments by Callum Davidson after the game and Dom Thomas in both of their post-match interviews. Callum Davidson saying, I like to see Dom Thomas taking those shots in training. Yeah. Sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. But it was particularly interesting that I thought when Dom Thomas was obviously asked about his goal and he said, Liam Craig just encouraged me to have a go and just hit the shot and see what happens. And how many weeks did we come on this podcast in the first half of this season crying out for somebody to just have a go, just to take a shot?
Yeah.
And it wasn't happening. I think that comment really, really stuck out to me, that it's clearly a change in the mentality. It's clearly a shift in just trusting the process. And but, actually, yeah. Callum Davidson coming in going, go and play football, go and do what you can do well, and see when you get Don Thomas on the right with that left foot. You know what he does well? He bends him into the top corner from 25, 30 yards out. It was a cracking goal, that one as well, wasn't it?
Oh, it was fantastic. And do you know what? I think that is, that's the difference when you have a manager that's coming in, looking at his players, what they can do individually as a unit, and trying to put the best team out there with a style of football that suits them, versus a manager who is trying to make a system work for a group of players regardless of how well fitted they are necessarily to it. And that is why we're seeing this uptick in performance, and unfortunately results are starting to come. And it makes such a big difference. And honestly, Dom Thomas, by the way, he was unbelievable on Saturday. He was phenomenal. Looked as though something was going to happen every single time the ball landed at his feet. And more importantly for me, he was buzzing when he scored, and he was buzzing at full time as well. And this is, given that we all had these concerns, because there was these rumours going about in January about Dom Thomas signing for Partick Thistle, signing for Raith Rovers. Obviously it was maybe agent talk or just absolute nonsense from the papers, you never know. But I'm really pleased to see that he seems to be thriving under Davidson.
Oh yeah, 100%. He was absolutely fantastic. And when you can free up Dom Thomas, how many times we've said this, like if Dom Thomas has played well, you typically will win the game of football, because he just does have that extra bit of quality. And I've no doubt in my mind in that scenario where he scored previously, there would have been a few 1-2s and trying to work it into the box instead of just having a dig. So it's good to see, because we do have one of the most talented wingers in the entire league, so let him do that. And if he gets like one out of four of those, then we're on to a winner. There's just so many like positive performances and like positive changes that you can see in that team. Like again, Sean Welsh, I still kind of believe that Inverness. I'm waiting for something to go wrong. Basically, I don't know what it is yet. Obviously, the injury record was a problem at Inverness, but for them to have let him go to us. And the performances he's put in, I know he got the sending off, obviously that wasn't great, but the standard of football that he operates with is just fantastic. Like, he's so comfortable in the ball. It kind of reminds me, in terms of like style of play, Davy Anderson. It's kind of like nothing too fancy. He's not like the most athletic or anything like that, but you just know he's not going to mess stuff up. And he did that throughout the game. And just that join up from defence to our forward players, it just feels so much better balanced with him and the team, which is fantastic.
And on another day, I think Welsh, I know we're going to move on to this, on another day, there's a couple of guys you could have called out for it. I think, you know, Welsh, it was a borderline man of the match performance, I thought, but we'll talk about that shortly.
Yeah, we definitely are. Just my last wee note is, you say that, obviously, it was great to see Dom Thomas buzzing and the way he celebrated the goals. Got to mention, of course, that he celebrated Mackenzie Carsey's goal before he'd even hit the shot. You see that in the highlights as well. Absolutely brilliant. Obviously, the confidence he had. Carsey turning, just a wee, I mean, completely pointless, but Carsey, he was up against UNO2 there, I'm sure it was, and obviously the two of them would have been at Celtic B as well, so I'm sure Carsey really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed that because that was his first senior goal in what, only his second or third appearance, so yeah, great for him, as you guys say. A great performance by him, and the short spell he had off the bench. We'll come straight on to it, Enzo, because yeah, you've talked, I mean, let's see, Jack Thompson got the SWPL Team of the Week. You've mentioned Sean Welsh. We've talked about Dom Thomas. There's three or four really good candidates, probably others that I've not even mentioned there as well. So, come on, you guys are going to have to argue amongst yourselves who's our man of the match.
I don't think there'll be much argument, will there, Callum? Surely. I mean, in my opinion, that was one of Dom Thomas's best performances since he joined the club. I just thought he was so dominant. He just looked absolutely fine. He looked the Dom Thomas that you hope and pray for going into every single game, because you know that he's going to contribute something massive. And I thought he was excellent. And the fact that he wasn't, no disrespect to Jack Thompson, because I know the rules are it's one player from each team. No disrespect to the other guys that play a similar style of football and play in the same position as Dom, who got in from the other teams. But I'm not buying that he wasn't one of the best players in the country last week. It was fantastic, and it's an easy man of the match for me.
Good summary. Yes, I would totally agree. Dom Thomas was absolutely fantastic. Great goal, great assist. His all-round play was just a total terror. And the fact that it was against his old team is also pretty amusing. So 100% Dom Thomas. I think second and third for me would have been Jack Thompson and Sean Welsh. They both had really good games. But it's one of those nice ones where you can pick out a lot of good performances.
Excellent. I thought there might have been a little bit of debate there, but never mind. Dom Thomas was clearly that much further ahead of everybody else on the park. So yeah, excellent performance by him. And well, for the first time, what feels like forever, I'm going to bring up the league table after we talk about a Queen's Park game. We've been avoiding it for very obvious reasons, but being the only championship game at the weekend, because of course the rest of the country were in Scottish Cup action or perhaps just having a week off, Queen's Park launched themselves up the table into joint sixth place, and we actually go ahead of Ayr on goal difference by virtue of one goal scored. And so you did say in our group chat, I think it was on like Tuesday last week or something, see if we win 3-0, we'll be all the way up in sixth. That is exactly what happened. Absolutely fantastic. Yes, okay, yeah, you've got games in hand elsewhere. Airdrie are 2 points ahead of us, but they actually have two games in hand over us. And there's a couple teams underneath us as well. But the point is, that I'm trying not to take it away from us as soon as I give it to us, but we go out of that, not just bottom of the table, we're away from ninth place for the first time in a long, long time. And that just is the icing on top of the cake for that weekend there, isn't it?
100%. And it's the trajectory, though, isn't it? That's the big thing. I mean, you're looking at the likes of Dunfermline, Arbroath, Inverness, still Ayr. I'm not sure they're out of it either, despite Scott Brown. And these are all teams who are not looking upwards, where I can't see a scenario where we now, do I even want to say this? I can't see a scenario where we don't continue to improve. I'll say that. I think we've obviously still got Wilson to come back into the squad. We've got guys who are new, who are going to bed in, hopefully improve. I just think that we have a lot of potential to pick up enough points to come at least eighth in the league. I would like to think if we don't, then there has been some sort of capitulation. And if you look at the guys that we've got in our squad now, that isn't a team that's getting relegated. That isn't a team that should be getting relegated. It's a good crop of players now, which I'm not sure we could have said with the same confidence pre-January transfer window. As a side point, I do actually think whoever finishes ninth in the league this year will stay up and win the playoffs. I'm not convinced that anyone outside Falkirk in the league below is going to be too fantastic, but hopefully that's not a game that we can observe rather than be part of.
I know. It's funny, actually, because I don't know. I think it's too early to make that prediction just because the playoffs are such a... They're so based around who's playing well and when. I mean, I see if they happened right now, Alloa are on brilliant form in League One right now. And you never, I wouldn't put it past them to beat Dunfermline. And to be fair, I'd absolutely love if Alloa got promoted if we stayed up because it's a cracking away day. But that's a conversation to be having in the summer, hopefully. But I agree with you. I think we're on track. Davidson was asked in his interview after the game on Saturday about the league position, said you're up to sixth, and he kind of said, "Nah, listen, that's we're not worrying about that." And that's the attitude that they need to have. But it doesn't mean that we as fans shouldn't be speculating, getting a wee bit excited. Listen, I'd still bite your hand off for eighth, but I think this team is better than that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, doesn't matter how. I obviously want the trajectory to keep going upwards, and I mean, you can look at the league table and you can look at this weekend's opponents, Morton, and they're only 6 points away from us. In fourth place in that last playoff spot. Although, to me, it really does not matter how close we may get up that, or looking up that table, how close we may get to the promotion playoffs. I am all about looking back behind us and just making sure, I say I'm not looking back with fear, I'm just looking back making sure that they stay as far away from us as possible. I agree with you, Cam. I think that the trajectory that this squad is now on, We are, I think, the second informed team, maybe third in the last five or six games or so. Yeah, third.
Six games, yeah.
Yeah, Morton and Airdrie, I think, are the two. But for us to be shooting all the way up there, as I say now, after the first half of the season, it's great to see the turnaround. And, you know, I do share your quiet optimism that this team is only going one way and it certainly should not be back down. But... yeah, so we'll talk about this week coming very soon. And of course, well, as the weeks go on, we'll see where it leads us. But let's move on from the Dunfermline game and from the league position right now, just to have our recap of other Queen's Park results, other teams elsewhere, because as we already put on Twitter, and as everybody I'm sure will have seen themselves, it's been a pretty successful weekend for Queen's Park as a whole. So on Saturday morning, you did have the Queen's Park supporters team playing. So we have a little Scottish Cup with all the other Scottish-based teams in the Internet Football Association League, as it's called. And we started our group stage with a 2-0 victory over Partick Thistle. So a clean sheet for ourselves as well, which is kind of rare these days. So it was a great game, to be a part of, and a great victory for the boys on Saturday morning. And, of course, led on to a brilliant Saturday afternoon with Queen's Park beating Dunfermline, which I spoke about. It got even better on Sunday. Queen's Park women with a 12-0 victory over Stirling Uni. 12 goals scored in the league. I mean, they've obviously been flying and scoring goals for fun, but nothing like that in the one game. You have, and I did have to double and triple check this. I hope I have all the correct goal scorers. And I do also have to say, whoever writes the match report on the website is going to have a slap in the wrist, because they missed out Ellie Kane scoring the first goal in the first 5 minutes or so. Thankfully, I managed to cross-reference that with Twitter. So it was Ellie Kane with 2 goals, Rachel McConaughey with 2 goals, Darcy Molly, Monica Harty, Olivia King, and Nicola Cairney with 1 each. And finally, you had Amy Robertson, who scored 4 on the day, and got herself a place in the SWPL Team of the Week as well. So, yeah, well, I mean, a fantastic return for them. That was an away game. I did see there was a couple of comments once again with, you know, obviously the women's team continuing to do well, flying in the league, you know, after scoring 12 goals. The conversation's got to come up again, surely, and it's going to keep coming up this season, isn't it, about perhaps getting them back playing at Lesser Hampden at the City Stadium when... that game was called off, the cup game, because of the weather, and then the rearranged game wasn't there. Maybe that's a negative we'll come back to in a minute. First things first, though, as I say, a 12-0 victory in the league. How much better could it possibly get?
I mean, it's wild, and you say Amy Robertson was in the SWPL Team of the Week. She also got the star player, which I suppose is the overall best player, which when you score 4 goals, it's probably difficult to give that to anybody else. But yeah, 12-0 is a ridiculous scoreline. I was busy when the game was on, and then I got the notification at the end, and I just read it, and it was like something about like, you know, a comfortable victory, and I thought it was going to be maybe 4 or 5, and I opened and it said 12, and I'm thinking, is that can't be right? It's like the old kind of BBC or Sky Sports where it actually put the scoreline in letters afterwards to so that you know that it's not a typo. But the other side to that is, now I know that our goal difference was already miles ahead of Kilmarnock and Livingston, who've fallen a wee bit behind Killie now. But you know, that's a plus 51 goal difference in 17 games. That is essentially, you know, Killie, who are second, they've got a plus 19. The gulf there is astronomical at this stage in the season. I mean, obviously having a 10-point lead is also fantastic. But you know, if you can buffer that a wee bit with the goal difference too, then you know. Brilliant, and I like to see. Do you know what? Sometimes you find in games like that where it's so one-sided, teams take their foot off the gas. But I like that kind of ruthlessness. I like that. That's a team that's saying, "Now we're not holding back. We're going for this league title." And speaking of going for the league title, without wanting to tempt fate too much, right? Obviously, massive, massive favourites to win the league and gain promotion to the top division. That's the game. You know, if only one game can be at Lesser Hampden, the game where that should happen has to be the one. There's no justification for that being played over at where is it, New Tinto Park. That yeah. Should be at the City Stadium. It should be at Lesser Hampden.
100%. Yeah, they deserve it. And 10-point gap at this point in the season as well is absolutely fantastic. Goal difference absolutely massive. I think everybody would just really like to celebrate that as well. Do you know what I mean? Exactly. And clearly, they must be putting on a good show, but unfortunately, still a wee bit out of reach for a lot of people. So hopefully they do, and I'd like it to be more than one game as well, to be honest. I mean, given that they were trying to do one game there, you can only assume that I was hoping that was going to be a precursor to them having more hosted at Lesser, but we will wait and see on that one. But yeah, I thought when I seen the tweet, I seen the same one as you, Andrew, when it was saying it was a comfortable victory. That's like those terrible post-match interviews that you see from managers when they've just hammered a team and they're like, yeah, they still gave us a tough game.
I get that you need to be respectful, right? But, you know, when you win by 12 goals, you just need to hold your hands
up. Right, what do you say? This was very easy.
It was, a great result for them. Well done to them on Sunday afternoon. And then you do, of course, move into this week and, as I say, the good weekend. Well, kind of pushing weekend a little bit there, but into Tuesday you had Queen's Park B, the men's team, playing Airdrie in the, and I think that was the Reserve League, I believe. I'm not sure if it was a cup, but regardless, it was a 7-1 victory over Airdrie. So you had Max Fiddes with a hat-trick, Scott Williamson with 2 goals, Rocco Hickey-Figacha and Ross McLean with the other 2 goals as well. So yeah, I mean, what is that? 19 plus 5, 24 goals, only one conceded across the 4 Queen's Park teams this weekend, as I say, we will say. Fantastic. I suppose let's talk briefly about Queen's Park B. Obviously, you had Tam O'Ware's interview as well, and Max Fiddes also had a wee word with QPTV also. He seems very eager to make an impression. He obviously came up from England, Southend. Was it Southend United or is it just Southend? I'm not sure. But either way, one of them, he's came up from England, starting off in the B team, and he said that he made that decision to come up here because in England he would still be in under the 18 football, but now he can make that step up to B team football. He's made a pretty good impression here because he actually came off the bench in the first half, and I think he scored his first touch also. So a great game for him to get his name out there.
I think he came on for Cass, didn't he? It sounds as though Cass might have taken a wee knock.
Crow.
Yeah, apologies, getting the two names mixed up, the two new C's. Crow, apologies. Came on for him.
Yeah, he did. So, not sure what happened there with Crow. I think it just said that you had to go for some treatment. Not obviously sure exactly what happened. But yeah, a brilliant return from him. It's good to see Scott Williamson on the score sheet as well. Obviously, he went on loan to Cove and did play for the first 4 or 5 games. I think he scored 1 goal, but then he just seemed to kind of drop out the squad and not really be involved. So getting a couple of goals there. I can't comment on the strength of the Airdrie team, to be perfectly honest. I don't really know much about it. You know, I don't really know who they played. I don't particularly care. But all I care about is Queen's Park scoring 7 goals, which is great to see. And surely, as I say, you think Scott Williamson, when he came back off loan, yes, okay, we brought in James Crowe, who was on the bench and came on ahead of him the other week, but if he's potentially picked up an injury, you might find Williamson or Fiddy's fighting out for that number two slot behind Payton to maybe be on the bench and be involved in match days.
Potentially. I think I watched that interview with Max Fiddy's as well, and I think that kind of demonstrates what I'm hoping to hear from guys that are joining us from down south and all over the place. Like, it just sounds like he's joining us because he sees a clear route to first team men's football, which isn't going to be present in a lot of the leagues in England and I guess in other places in Scotland. So long as we can keep demonstrating that if you are good enough, you will get into the team and you will get that opportunity, then hopefully we get plenty more guys coming up, because it must be a relatively small circle in the footballing world. And I know that Queen's Park aren't the most well-known team, but if they know that they can come up here, get good facilities, get that sort of at least look towards a first team, then it totally changes the dynamic of the players that we'll be able to sign. So, I think he will have the chance if Crowell's not about for a wee while. I don't know if he is injured, but we still don't really have any, I guess, designated second choice striker. So yeah. It's up for grabs.
And I thought it was interesting. I don't know if he's listened to Old Ware's interview, but it was interesting what he said about them changing shape to kind of replicate what Davidson's doing with the first team as well. And I think that's really important, because that's how these guys, you know, that's how you get these young guys prepared and comfortable and ready to step in when it is their time to get some first team football. So that's really, really important. And, you know, it's, if it's working for the first team and working for the B team, then hopefully can carry on like that, because I think I think there has been, you know, this uptick in performance coinciding with the shift in formation. So I think that's really, really big for the youth teams all to be playing the same shape, so that the guys are continually ready to move up a level.
Yeah, it's you would think it just makes complete sense, doesn't it, that you'd have the B team playing the same way and kind of set themselves up the same style as the first team, so that if anybody is able or if anybody's needed to step up and maybe at extreme short notice, they know exactly what they're doing. They're not going to be having to change anything that they're getting used to. So it makes complete and utter sense there, and it's overall, as I say, just great to see on the day for them. And just one last time, an excellent weekend for Queen's Park all round. All the teams getting a win, and some of them very emphatic. So absolutely lovely to see. There's not really much else to round up. Obviously, we're out of the transfer window, although you can still make loan signings. We did get linked very briefly with Chris Kane from St Johnstone. Also, that'll be the Callum Davidson link, won't it? But he's ended up joining Dunfermline. I think it just makes sense. I think you said it, Enzo, online somewhere, that you know it seems like if he's looking for first team football, he's much more likely to get it at Dunfermline. Rudy Payton is absolutely entrenched as number one, and with the way that we're setting up the formation right now, we're not likely to play two strikers. So probably makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think. Do you know what? Like when that rumor was going about Twitter, my thought process on it was, fine, I'd probably take him as a bit of squad depth, somebody that's done well at this level before, but I wasn't overly enthusiastic about it, and I can't say I care all that much about Dunfermline signing him. And somebody's posted on Pine Bovril as well, that he apparently lives in Edinburgh, so it's a fairly short commute, and as you say, much more likely to actually start games of football. It's probably the right move for him, good move for them, doesn't make us any weaker not getting him.
Yeah, yep. Definitely. And he's hardly going to be displacing Payton, is he? So
yeah, exactly. It's not too fussed about that, but it was just the only rumour really of note. We may as well mention it. I suppose the last thing I was just going to bring up, there's that BBC documentary that came out at the beginning of the week. I don't know if either of you guys, I know I've not had a chance to watch it yet, but I'll be sticking it on my list maybe for the weekend. It was on BBC Scotland. It was it's Dougray Scott Bringing Football Home. Just if obviously you're looking into that, I mean, I'm sure many people will know a fair bit of the history of Scottish football and obviously what Queen's Park were involved in there. But just in case anybody hadn't spotted that, just to give that a shout out, you can find that on BBC iPlayer. So it's Bringing Football Home is the name of the title, so you can search that and find that. Have either you managed to have a chance to watch it yet? No.
I've only watched a wee bit of it, but there is a lot of Queen's Park content in it from what I've seen so far, as you would imagine when you're reflecting on the history of Scottish football. So I'll be going back to it, yeah. But I would definitely recommend giving it a wee watch. It seemed decent from what I've seen.
I am planning on watching it tomorrow night, actually. So I've heard good things from people that have. I mean, I love all that stuff, anything to do with the history of Scottish football, and, you know, doubly so if it involves our own club. So fortunately, there always is quite a heavy involvement. And from what I've heard, it's a decent wee documentary.
Excellent. Well, yeah, I say I'll also be adding it to the list. So maybe we'll come back and talk about that a little bit next week as well. But hopefully next week, when we're back, we're talking about a victory over Greenock Morton, who, as I say, will be at Hampden this Saturday. It's the members and season ticket holders bring a pal day, so it looks like the club as well are heavily promoting tickets for this one, so hopefully it'll be a good home support. I think you expect them to bring a good away support, especially with the run of form that they're on. As we've already touched on, they are the form team at this moment in time. They are 4 wins and a draw in their last 5 league games. And they're on the back of knocking Motherwell out of the Scottish Cup on Friday night on the telly as well. I did get a chance to watch that game, and I mean, I'll be honest, I wasn't surprised that that was one of the upsets of the weekend, but at the same time, I still kind of was, because I just expected Motherwell to be a little bit better than they were. I know Motherwell are going through a bit of a time of it themselves, but credit has to be credit has to be given to Morton, the way that they played. We know exactly how they're going to play. They work. They do it very, very well. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not here for the crying of too physical, this, that, and the other. They have their way of playing. We had we had our way of playing. August until December, and it was rubbish. They have a way of playing that works very well for them, and hopefully we're now finding that ourselves. But I say, what do you guys make of obviously Morton coming in? I say, quite incredible form for them, because did they not start the season also pretty poor, and then they've shot themselves up the table pretty well as well? So
aye, they were perhaps bottom of the league at one point, weren't they?
Yeah, very similar to ourselves this season. What do you guys make of the opponent this week? Because I did post on Pine Bovel earlier on, like, I should be buzzing going into this game on the back of our own form, but I'm a little bit wary of this one.
I mean, you have to be wary about it. Our record against Morton is not good. It hasn't been good since we got promoted, and it's more than that. I think the level of performance just hasn't been very good against them. And yeah, I feel as though last season Doug Emery sort of had Owen Coyle sussed. He knew what his game plan was, and we're all very aware that Owen Coyle wasn't great at making adjustments when things weren't going to plan. And again, Veldman, let's be honest, it wasn't particularly difficult to see through his game plan as well. It was always very, very straightforward, and so many teams figured us out very, very early on, hence our struggles too. I'm just hoping that it won't quite have worked out what Davidson's tactics are and what our current shape is and how we approach games, and we can kind of catch them off guard. I think really importantly, and I know that, yes, it's a cliche, maybe a little bit exaggerated at times, but Morton are a physical team. It's a fact, you can't deny it. They have the most yellow cards in the league. They had the most yellow cards in the league last season. Yes, they play some decent football as well, but you have to really get stuck in and battle against them. That is the side of the game that we need to see. And I don't know if I'm necessarily optimistic about it, but I'm feeling a lot better about this than I have been previous encounters with them, put it that way.
Yeah, I was actually just looking back at Morton's form there, and it's really good. It extends really all the way back to like the last time they actually lost a game of football was the 11th of November. So it's not, clearly not a purple patch when you've been having that kind of form for such a prolonged period of time. But we are a completely different entity to every other time that we've played Morton, essentially. Also, I think this isn't at Capello. This is obviously at Hampden. I think that's going to be a big advantage for us. We played them at Hampden in October, was it? And I think we drew 0-0. So I think the big pitch will be of benefit to us. It looks like we're settling into a formation that guys are comfortable with. I think we'll have a lot more defensive cover this game in comparison to what we've had before with the back 3/5, if you include the wing-backs on it. There's a lot of positives, and I think I agree with you, David. I think we rightly so should be wary of this, and I think Morton should also rightly be the favourites for this, given the record currently and generally speaking against us. But in comparison to where I've been with these sort of games before, I'm going into it thinking we might not be the favourites, but I think we have a team that can sort of steal results now, which we've not really been in that position for the whole of 2023, essentially. So I think we've got a fairly good chance. And obviously with the manager of the month curse, they don't keep that run on going forever, hopefully, surely.
They don't. Yeah. I mean, realistically, nobody wins every single game, regardless of how good you are. Football's a weird thing. You never know. You can even play well and lose a game. It happens from time to time. And I think you're right. They are due a bad performance. They're due a defeat. And it would be lovely if we could be the ones to give it to them. I mean, you talk about who's the favourites for this, and it probably will be Morton with the bookies, but I know that last week against Dunfermline, I think both teams were pretty similar odds to get the win there. Inverness, I don't think we would have been favourites to win that. We certainly wouldn't have been favourites to beat Raith at Starks Park when we went there and did that. It's just, I don't necessarily think we will win the game, but the big change for me going into this one is I feel as though we could potentially win it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. We're definitely aided with the manager of the month curse, as you say, Calum, with Dougie Emery getting that. Before, obviously, Dougie Emery had the Motherwell game, so he did win there, but that wasn't league, and he was obviously manager of the month for the Championship, so this is his first league game since that. And, well, yeah, Ian Murray was given manager of the month, and then his first league game was up against Callum Davidson, and he did not get the win there, so fingers crossed we can do the exact same thing to Dougie Emery. It would be, I know there's been some comments on Pye and Bovril, and some of the Morton fans seem to get very upset at Queen's fans sort of noting that we've not really played very well against Morton. So I know there's, I think somebody even made the comment that you've got no divine right to beat Morton. Of course you don't. Nobody's saying you get any divine right to beat anybody, but you would think, having played six times in the league, and did we not play them in the cup as well? Or am I making that up? In that wee Diddy Cup, maybe it wasn't them. Anyway, we've played them at least six times in the league, and to have got nothing and to have thrown some of the games away that we have done has been quite spectacular, or to not take advantage of them. Like even the two games this year, you know, the 0-0 game at Hampden, which was an absolutely turgid affair, and then the 1-0 defeat over at Capello when they had a man sent off after something like half an hour, and then Rory Payton misses the penalty in first half stoppage time. You know, we don't go and take advantage of it. We've just been architects of our own downfall. Morton have definitely had the better of us, especially last season, as you mentioned, Enzo, under Owen Coyle. But you would just hope that the law of averages will play out, and that we could be due a good result against Morton. So I'm hoping, praying, that it will be this weekend. What would you guys be looking at in terms of the squad going in? Obviously, we've already mentioned Josh Scott, who started for the first time against Dunfermline. Seems like we're all in agreement that, based on his performance there, he would keep that left wing-back position. Danny Wilson didn't play for the B team yesterday on Tuesday, so you've got to assume he's perhaps still in a bit of pre-season training himself, or maybe not quite 100% fit yet. Are there any changes either of you are looking to make to that Dunfermline lineup, or would you be going with the same 11?
I think I'd probably stick with the same 11. The only reason I think something might potentially change a little bit is just because, you know, the big pitch, us playing at home, it makes me question whether the approach in general might be different. But I'd be inclined to stick with the same guys, and that does include McKinstry with Carse as an option off the bench, just to see how, you know, because I think he was effective in that role last week, and then, you know, depending on how he looks and depending on how McKinstry looks, that might change in following weeks. But I think when you go away from home and win 3-0, it just doesn't make too much sense to tinker with that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't expect to see any changes, to be honest. Obviously, I still think there's a bit to come from McKinstry, but I think I agree with what you said, Enzo. I think if Carse is coming on as a sub, I think that's, he's going to be able to provide more impact just due to his level of energy and all that sort of stuff as well. So I'd be happy with that setup. And it all comes back down to what decision he's going to make, really, when Wilson is available. I assume the same as you, David, that he's not going to be here for this game. But when he is, I basically want Jack Thompson back in midfield, because him alongside Sean Welsh sounds fantastic to me. And then he's got a decision to make on what he does with Turner, I guess. Does he push him up where McKinstry is? Or well, good decisions to make instead of trying to fiddle with teams because they're not doing well, I guess. That would be the only one, but I don't think that's going to be this weekend.
I think it wouldn't surprise me if we saw Wilson on the bench on Saturday, but yeah, if he's not, if he wasn't even on the bench last week and he didn't have any involvement in that B team game, I'd be surprised to see him start. Maybe the following week.
Especially since we're winning. There must be less temptation for it when we're doing well. We clearly see that the guys are starting to play better. If we were going out and still conceding hundreds of goals every game, then I think they might be more tempted to rush him along. But if that's not the case, then happy to let him wait.
Yeah, it feels quite different, obviously, to it feels similar, but then also different to the McKinstry signing, where when he was announced, we were at the beginning of that pretty dodgy run, you know, the sort of middle to the end of September, and then as the weeks were going on, we were crying out for McKinstry to come in, thinking he'd be the one that would pull us out of it. We obviously then sign a name like Danny Wilson while we're at the end of that bad run of form, and now that we're actually coming out of it, it's like, oh, okay, he can take his time, it's all right, we don't need him right now. It's there's a number of decisions throughout the squad now, as you say, Calum. It's good to have Calum Davidson having difficult decisions to make in the good way, rather than trying to find something that will work. So here's hoping that continues, and here's hoping whatever decisions he makes on Saturday will be the right ones to get us the win. Let's move on. Let's move straight to it. Let's do our score predictions. Did anybody have Calum 3-0 with Turner scoring first?
Not Turner scoring first, but there is one bandit that picked 3-0,
assume that's not me.
Yeah, it's not. And do you know what's actually more annoying to see when I was just checking this earlier? I remember when we picked the scores last week, I think you said that you wanted 3-0 or 3-1 Enzo. I can't remember, but either way, yes, Enzo has more points.
I did at the time, but these things happen for a reason, eh?
Aye. So Enzo gets 3 points, David, you and I get 1 point. None of us had Turner as first goal scorer. So points wise, David, you're 19. I am on 21 and Enzo is on 23. So
still close.
Lots to play for. So David, after you.
Right, okay. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be fun, but it's going to be a 1-0 victory for Queen's Park.
I thought you were going to give us like a wee Valentine's Day rhyme there from the way that you started off that.
I'm afraid I don't have any more saved up. I really should have came prepared with that rather than scrambling about trying to find all 12 goal scorers for the women's team for 10 minutes, having to pick through the match report trying to work that out. No, no more puns. 1-0 Queen's Park. As I say, scrappy game where we're fighting up against the informed team in the league right now. But we upset them, get the 3 points. It's going to have to be Rudy Payton to get that goal. It has to be Rudy Payton.
Cool. Okay. I also think that it's going to be painful and quite close. So I'm going to go for 2-1. I think we'll find a way to concede a goal with George Oakley, as he always does against us, is going to turn into a superstar. So I'll go for 2-1 Queens, and I'll have the classic combo of Thomas and Payton.
Oh, right, okay. I'm actually going to go for... So, I mean, those were obviously the two score lines that you're naturally going into this thinking. If I'm being optimistic, I think we'll win by one goal. I don't see it being a five-goal thriller, so 3-2 is out. So I'm actually going to go 2-0 and another clean sheet, the third in a row. I don't know how realistic I actually believe that to be. But that's what I'm going to go with. And I think the first goal scorer will be... I mean, he's taken all the good ones. Or the obvious ones, I should say, anyway. I'm going to go with Jack Thompson and then a Rudy Payton.
Jack Thompson, Payton. Do you want to ask your dogs what they want to predict?
Yeah, I apologize. they've been quiet for this whole recording, then all of a sudden... I've got a 11-week-old puppy, and he's decided that he wants to start barking now.
Maybe they disagree. We'll go for that. Cool. Thompson and Payton, sorted.
All right, excellent. Let's have a quick look. Let's have a quick look at what else is going on in the league, because on Friday night football games are always quite fun. I just always enjoy having them to watch. You know, watching our league on the telly is excellent. It's Wraith against Dundee United, which, of course... I mean, Wraith are toiling a little bit. I mean, they're still second in the league, aren't they? So they're still up there, but they just don't feel like they're quite the same force they could have been. Three defeats in a row, obviously one of those being to us as well. But you would hope that that will be a good game on the telly, as I say, on Friday night. You've also got Airdrie against Ayr, Dunfermline against Arbroath, Inverness, Partick Thistle. Now, I know we've been avoiding doing this for a long time because we've been too busy worried about what's happening behind us, but now we're slightly further ahead. I can now start planning out the route to safety, and it's easy. Partick Thistle win against Inverness, which should be a given. Dunfermline Arbroath, those two teams are in terrible form right now. Give me a 0-0 draw there. Airdrie against Ayr, I don't really know what I'd like. I think take a draw there, and both those teams to drop points, because I reckon we can be better than both of them. What do you guys make of those fixtures?
Yeah, I think I agree. Obviously, we want Thistle to beat Inverness. I think that's just going to be the theme when any of the top three, I suppose top three, you're going to want them to beat the teams below them. Dunfermline Arbroath, I actually think I want Arbroath to win that because I don't think they're going to get out of their situation regardless. And I basically just want any other team to be stuck to ninth place. So having Dunfermline there, that means that they, yeah, if we win, that would create a wee bit of a gap there. And then Airdrie Ayr, I think that's an interesting one. I mean, it depends what your ambitions are, isn't it? Is it safety, or are you actually starting to get a wee twinkle in the eye and thinking, let's push for the playoffs? Which sounds hilarious after where we've been over the last few weeks. For me personally, I think I'm a bit more on the pessimistic side, and I would be happy to see Ayr stuck down in that dogfight. If you had Ayr, Inverness, Dunfermline or Arbroath all having to kick about with us, then I think I'd rather that than making it a wee bit more of an even spread.
The big one for me is obviously that bottom of the table clash, really, isn't it? And I think I'd be quite content with anything other than a Dunfermline win, to be honest. That a draw or an Arbroath win would suit me fine. Do you know what? Honestly, see, I'm not all that bothered. If results go in our favour, brilliant. I'm not focusing too much on it. Let's win another three or four games, and then I'll maybe start looking upwards. But for now, focus on us getting, you know, now that we have dragged ourselves off that ninth place position, out of the playoffs, just focus on winning games, and we'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, that's the best way to look at it, I think, there, Enzo. Thank you very much for signing us off for this week on a very positive note and a very almost very inspiring message there. So thank you very much. Until next week, when we may well actually be getting round together in person. We'll see what happens with that. But until next week, Callum and Enzo, it's been a pleasure as always. Continue to find us on Twitter, at Spiders Talk Pod. Continue to find us on Pie and Bovril as well, and all the threads relating to Queen's Park. Thank you for coming back and listening to us once again this week, and we will see you all again next week.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. The castle at Dundee. The final league match of friendly. The dead are castle at Dundee. Play for the sake of the game. Play for the sake of the game.